and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peaceably. All right? Let's bow our heads. Father, it is good to be saved, God. I thank you, Father, for eternal life. I thank you for this book. God, I thank you to hear somebody talk about this book and tell us that we should be in it, God. It's always good to be directed to come to this book. Father, we don't need the philosophies of man. We don't need our opinions. God, we've been fooled before. We've been wrong before. God, people here have been wrong more times than they care to remember. But your book is never wrong. And I thank you. Now, God, we're in church. Ask you, Father, please, that you would be in church too. I pray, God, that you will speak to the heart of each person here, God, and just allow your work to be done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. I figured it out, by the way. You know, there's parts of this conference I'm not going to miss at all. But I figured out how to work that thing. Nothing to it. The electronic age is wonderful. There are, if you don't know it, there are spirits afoot. All right? A nation is very similar to a church. They both have a constitution, and neither are run by it. All right? That's a fact. That's a fact. That's not a criticism. All right? You say, well, what are they run by? They are run by spirits. They are run by something, you know, right now that spirit, your spirit are called politically correct. You know, that's a spirit. That is why there are times when you know that you're right, yet you're intimidated for being right. You ever been that way? You ever been, you knew you were right, and you've been intimidated. You say, what is it? That's a spirit, all right? We know that homosexuality is wrong, and yet many times you are intimidated against saying anything against it. You say, why? Because there's a spirit, all right? I'm going to tell you about a spirit that's in the country, and sometimes people think that there's spirits in our churches. And it's not in our church. It is in the whole country, and since the country's in the church, that we're going to be in subjection to that spirit or in contact with that spirit also. I'm going to give you one. Now, I've heard people say this. They say, well, Christianity is just so divided. Christianity is just, it's split and it's splintered and it's schismatized. And I just hate to see that spirit in our church. That's no problem. I'm serious. That is not a church problem. That is a national problem. I'll give you an example. What happens when you say, you go someplace, say, go to a place, you know, you say, somebody says, what do you want to drink? Say, I'll have a Coke. Okay. Did you want Coke or Diet Coke? Or did you want Coke Classic? Or did you want Cherry Coke? Or did you want caffeine-free Coke? Or did you want, what's the other one? Caffeine and Diet Coke, right? Say, I wanted Coke. What I'm saying is you can go and buy Coke for the whole family and have everybody drinking a different Coke. You say, I'm going to send you for, well, you can just go down to the store, get me some Crest toothpaste. This is not easy. You say, well, what kind do you want? I want Crest toothpaste. Well, do you want the regular or do you want the cleared mint gel? Do you want the anti-plaque? Or do you want the anti-tartar? Or do you want the bubblegum flavored with stars in it for the kids? And do you want that in the stand-up tube, or do you want that in the convenient squeeze pump? So never mind, man, I'll just use sand. Did you want white sand, or did you want volcanic black sand? So now you can go into a bathroom, and everybody in the house has their own toothpaste, and it's all Crest, and it's all different. And see, that spirit has carried into our churches. See, that spirit is that's in our nation, all right? That is in our nation. And because our churches are in our nation, we are going to be caught up in that spirit. So when you say, well, I don't know why Christianity is just so divided. Man, listen, the whole nation is divided. And it's got nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity is just along for the ride in that case. It is just a spirit that permeates our nation. There is another spirit. That's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. There's a spirit in this country. And it is an exceedingly dangerous spirit. It will affect our churches. It has to affect our churches. And it is the spirit that I see here in this chapter. When Israel came up out of Egypt, they took some property, all right? And they claimed that property. They built their homes. They raised their children. And they lived there for several hundred years. And then all of a sudden, somebody dug through a chest of drawers somewhere after their great-great-grandfather died, and they thought they found a title deed to a piece of property that a Jewish family had, and they said, we want our land back. And today, America is submerged in a spirit that I call give it back and apologize. All right? It goes like this, you know. You say, here you are. This happened. You know, I pastored in Auburn, just about 70 miles away, 80 miles away. And you know, over there, the Cougue Indians. I don't know if they ever have settled, but somewhere along the line, the Cougue Indians were saying that they got cheated out of some land. They want the entire little community of Cayuga and a bunch of other places, you know. And I don't know, maybe they want Rochester back. But I had a guy in my church, and he lived in the town of Cayuga. And one day, there was a knock at his door, and here's this Indian. Again, he's an Indian. And the guy says, sir, I would like... He said, no. Come on in. And he takes him in the kitchen. He says, how do you like it? You like this? You like there's our stove, our dishwasher and the sink, refrigerator? Well, yeah. But I'd like... No. Come here. He says, sir, living room. You like the living room? We have the new couch here, and we just put in carpet. You like that? Well, yes, but I'd like... No. Come up with me. Come upstairs. And this is our bedroom, and we have this nice bed here, and there's the bathroom. We've just remodeled it. Here's another bedroom here. Do you like this? This Indian says, yeah, it's nice. He says, but why are you showing this to me? He said, well, you want it, don't you? I mean, you want to take it back, don't you? And the guy says, well, I don't know. I'm just here selling encyclopedias. I don't think he sold many in Cayuga. Here's what the children of Ammon did. They came up and they said in verse 13, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt from Arnon, even unto Jabbok. All right? It says that Israel took away my land, and now they've come back, and it says they want it back. What does he say? He says, therefore, restore those lands again peaceably. First thing I want to say is this, about our land. Look, I'm sorry, I am not sympathetic to this spirit. I am defiant to this spirit, all right? I am defiant. You know, you've got it down, you're going to, you pick up, I don't care if it's a book about, modern book about Columbus or anything else, you're going to hear that the scourge of the land was the Europeans that came and you know, they hurt the trees and they hurt the animals and they stepped on the ants and used the worms for fishing and, you know, you're going to hear all the things, everything bad that the Europeans did. They came over here and they plowed and they cut down trees and they built up buildings. Listen. The first owner of the land did not do right. And you'll never hear that in history anymore, okay? But the original owner of the land did not do right. You keep your place here, but I want you to go back and look at Leviticus. And go back to Leviticus chapter 18. Miss Gibb, come here a minute. She writes these outlines. I can't read her handwriting. I need some help. What is this word right here? No. I forgot that myth book on the couch. You bring it to me. If you look at Leviticus chapter 18, we're not going to read all of this, but it goes down through some laws or some things that Israel was prohibited from doing once they got into the land. And it says, check it out, we won't go into a lot of this, but it talks about verse 11, nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father. She is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister. For she is thy mother's near kinswoman. It goes down through there talking about what you should and should not do. Look at verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. All right, I'm not going to read the next verse. You read it on your own. Look at Leviticus, again, chapter 20.
Leviticus chapter 20, it talks about if a man take a wife and her mother. Verse 14, it talks about the problems that were in the, and the things that God did not want Israel to do. But the things that God is describing here are the things that the people of the land had done that God threw out. The people that had the land that Israel took did not do right by it. The first owner was bad. Listen, you know what the Bible tells us about them? The Bible tells us that they were having sexual relations within their own family. They were having sexual relations with... Excuse me. Kathy, you're looking rough. Okay, don't ask for a kiss, honey. Some new haircuts. They were having sexual relations with family members. They were having sexual relations with animals. There was homosexuality that was rampant. That's what was going on in the lands that God pushed the people out and let Israel come and take the land. The first owner was bad. Now, I know you hear all this stuff about everything, you know, everything the European has done and how bad we are and all the things we killed. And you know, we need to save the trees and save the rocks and save the asphalt. I'm all for saving the asphalt, all right? And look, I'm sorry. Now, if you're here tonight and you're an environmentalist, can I say something? If the earth is your mother, I spit on your mother. And at night, I do worse. In fact, I've raised three boys, and our Earth Day celebration is something you would not want to witness. And I'm serious. It's a celebration, brother. I mean, we get together. Well, we get a little distance apart, really. But and if we happen to be parked near a national park or a wildlife preserve, it makes it just that much more solemn. It's a very solemn occasion. Forgive me, it's a man thing. What I'm saying is this. We say, well, the problem is the European has come and done this, and the... Maybe I better rephrase that. The white man. Anyway, the white man has come and done this. The white man has come and done that. And the problem is the white man. Did you know that in Hawaii there is a bird? There is a species of bird that is now extinct. Do you know why it's extinct? Because it had about three feathers on it that were very long and ornate. That's all. It had three tail feathers. And a Hawaiian king decided he wanted all of them, so he killed all them birds and plucked all of them and used the... Now, he did that without being coached by a white man. All right? He didn't read that about how to make birds extinct or anything like that. He just kind of winged it on his own. I had no idea what I said. I'm even smart by accident. People, what I'm saying is that the original owners didn't do right. And I know, you go watch Pocahontas and you would think that, you know, every Indian, they're all communing with nature and they're all in touch with nature and they all have this, you know. Hey, I don't know if you know it. Pocahontas was 12 years old when John Smith met her. And he converted her to Christianity. She did not convert him to Spiritism. And they never did talk to Astaroth. Astaroth was the female deity that lived in the tree. In your Bible, all right? And you know, you see this thing, you know, and the Indians always got this, in all the Hollywood stuff, you know, they've always got to have the resident Indian, the resident preacher is always some kind of a nerd, and the resident Indian is always the guy that's all wise and knowing and everything else. Hey, listen, man, their heathenistic worship would rip the heart out of a human being while it was beating and hold it up to the sun god. That's the crowd that we replaced, okay? Now, don't knock them all. Because it's not as bad. Don't knock the asphalt and don't knock the parking lots and don't knock plumbing and don't knock electricity. It's not as bad as what was here before. And people, what I'm saying is that the original owner was not good. I don't know if you realize, and I don't care if you're black or white, buddy. I know your roots. Your roots are that your kinfolk were pagan. They were pagans, brother. They were either black barbarians or they were white barbarians. It doesn't matter, brother. It's just you were barbarians. I know my kin folks were out of Europe, man. And listen, you think that they're all civilized, bunch of nice folks. Hey, man, you go back enough into your history, and you know what you find? You find somebody that put an animal skin on, rubbed bear grease all over themselves, never knew what a bath was, and they went out there and planted their crops, and they went out and beat their brains out of each other until the crops were ready to harvest. That's your kin folks, all right? And I don't care black or white, brother. Listen, your kin folks, they were worshiping a volcano, or they were worshiping a river, or they were worshiping a cloud, or they were worshiping a mud hole. I mean, you know, it's like, the volcano's active. Well, throw in two virgins and call me in the morning. That was heathen. That was pagan. That is what God kicked out. That's what he said. He said he moved them right out of there. People, the original owner was not good. You say, why are you saying that? Well, you tell me someplace else you're going to hear it. You want balance? Go on, turn on your TV, see if they'll tell you that. Go to school, tell me if they'll tell you that. Pick up a book at your library and see if they'll tell you the truth. All you'll hear is browbeat and Columbus was a money lover and Columbus did this and the Europeans did that. Hey, people, listen, that's not the fact. I'll tell you something else. That's the land. That's the land. But I'm talking to somebody else that's a piece of dirt, and that's you and me. And might I say, when you were in Egypt, the original owner wasn't too good. You were, as John chapter 8, verse 44 says, you were your father, the devil. And I'll bet you anybody got saved, I mean, just a little while into life. I mean, anything beyond about 5, 6, 8 years old, brother. You can tell us the stories of the degradation, just like we found in Leviticus chapter 18 and chapter 19 and chapter 20. The things that were repulsive and abomination to God were present in your life under the original owner. Isn't that true? I mean, you can remember, you can go back, and maybe it was no volcano God, you know, but the fact is you can go back in your life when the paganism was there, and the filth was there, and the abomination was there. I mean, the old owner did not take good care of the property. You know that's true. And they make you do some stupid things. I have a picture of a fanatic. I don't know why this man's a fanatic, because he's a Bills fan. Why he would be a fanatic, I don't know. You know, it's funny. You say amen in church, they call you a fanatic. This picture... Oh, we've got missile lock on. Man, say something about the Bills, they get hot right now. You know what Bill stands for, don't you? Boy, I love losing Super Bowls. Anyway, this guy, you can't see him, lucky for you, but his face is painted white and red. On his cheek is the Bill's buffalo insignia. He has a set of buffalo horns on his head. You know, like you always wear when you're going shopping. Typical day at work, you know. He has red, white, and blue streamers coming down from the back of his buffalo helmet. He has sunglasses with the Bills insignia on. Now, this guy, you know him personally? Hey, wait a minute, you know Vin? I see now. Yeah. Now, this guy was in, this guy was in Minneapolis. That was, I think, the second or third time the Bills lost? You know, that's how you record history around New York. I understand. That guy paid several thousand dollars to look like he looks. Right? Now, people, that's pagan. And they will get excited like that over a football game. And like I said, you say amen out loud in church and somebody tell you you're a fanatic. You know what that guy is? That guy's a fool. But he doesn't mind being a fool for his God. You ever watch a football game on TV, and you see the guys, you know, their shirts are off in the middle of winter, and half of them's painted green, and half of them's painted yellow. You know, I guess for British Petroleum, I don't know. But and they got stars and crazy. And now look, if you look like that, if you saw somebody with a camera in your hand, what would you do? What do they do? What I'm saying is the old owner. The old owner made you a fool. The old owner told you you were having a good time, then how much you cried so much. How come you cried so much at night? Somebody told me one time, I heard a preacher preaching. He says, there's no fun in sin. I said, where were you? Where were you, man? I had fun. You know what I didn't have? See, I still have fun. Man, I'll tell you, I like to have fun. I didn't have joy. And I didn't have peace. And I didn't have satisfaction. And I didn't have fulfillment. You understand? I still have fun, but listen, you know the difference between Christians and lost people is? we still have a good time. We just don't have to. We don't count our good times by how much we threw up last night. We can have a good time. We just don't have to get down our knees to God and confess it in the morning. You remember, you wake up in the morning and say, oh, man. I had a great time last night. I can't remember anything I did. I says, yeah, nice girl you married. The old owner did you wrong. The land was violated. The land was defiled. We don't have to get up and we don't have to go down for a blow by blow about the sin that was in our lives. Man, listen, we don't have to glorify it. We don't have to magnify it. We don't have to exalt it. But every one of you, you know there was a time you stunk. You stunk. You were an abomination. Things you did are still listed in this book as abominations to God. That was the old owner of the land. And the people that Israel replaced were like that. And the people that the Americans replaced were like that. And the person that Jesus Christ replaced when he moved into your place was like that. All right? You ain't good. Tell you something else I know. God took it away. Look at Leviticus chapter 20. It says this in verse 23. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. Now, I'm not in challenges, all right? But you need to read Leviticus 17, 18, 19, and 20 and find out what they did. Listen, anything you find in Leviticus chapter 17, 18, 19, and 20, I'll tell you, if you want to find it now, just turn on daytime TV. It'll be on Oprah or Ricky Lake or Jesse Raphael or some other garbage can liquor, you know, whatever they are. Just kind of stick their head down the garbage can, see if it still stinks. I mean, every pervert, every perversion, everything that is abnormal, everything that is sick, it is listed in those chapters. And the Bible said that God abhorred them. See, say verse 24, But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. America's a different place. America is a different nation than any nation on face this earth. Don't you ever kid yourself. I'm going to tell you why the liberal news media hates America. They hate America because America is the only nation in history that's ever founded on God. I feel bad, you know, because in 1989, the Berlin Wall came down, or communism fell, and throughout that time, 1989, 1990, there was a transition in Eastern Europe, and the Berlin Wall came down, and those people in East Germany and East, Romania and Hungary and Bulgaria, they got lied to. You know what they were told? They were told, you guys are communists, and your whole problem is you don't have free enterprise, and if you can get free enterprise, you'll be like the United States of America. Free enterprise did not make this country great. Free enterprise is just a fallout from what God did. You live in the only nation on the face of this earth that was ever founded on the God of this book. Think about it. You say, well, what about Israel? Israel, listen, Israel did not choose God. God chose Israel. That is why Israel is so special. God looked down and said, I choose you, Abraham. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Abraham wasn't down his face saying, God, I'd like you to make me a great nation. I'd like to live for you. Listen, at that time, Abraham was a pagan. And God said, I choose you. But listen, 1,000 years of history. Nations have risen and fallen. Only one time in history, when a nation was birthed at its inception, Its founding fathers, as they delivered this life into this world, said, we want the God of this book to be our God. God put Israel in that land that they were in Judges chapter 11. You understand that? God put them there. You say, well, it hurt the Ammonites' feelings. Tough. Really tough. I'm telling you, man, this spirit is, give it back and apologize. We're just going through, I don't know if you know it, Michael Hewitt, or Haywitt, I believe. I can't remember say his name right, and I'm glad. But he was some kind of a big wig at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., and there was a real scandal, a real row, because they were going to take the Enola Gay, which was the B-29 that dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, yeah. And they were going to put that in a thing, in a exhibition, and they had like about, in this thing, they had something like 500 photos. 14 of them were about American soldiers suffering during World War II. The rest of them were about the suffering of the Japanese. And they had this thing where they said that the Japanese were fighting a defensive war that was a war of aggression by the United States. That's how they had it. And brother, there has been an absolute row, man. Now all they're doing is they're going to put the plane out there with a little plaque that says, this is the Enola Gay, it dropped the bomb, and Hewitt's out of a job. Now look, listen. If there's a Japanese person here right now, and you come up to me and say, sir, I just want to let you know that I had an uncle or I had a grandfather that died in Hiroshima, Sam Gipp would tell you, I am sorry for you. Personally, I feel sorry for you. Nationally, I don't care. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying if our countries are at war right now, and the only way to stop was drop the bomb, you better tell your grandfather to get out of that city, pal, because we're going to smoke it. We have been given the victory, and we are now told to apologize for the victory. We are now told to take the land that we've been taken, that we've been given by God, and give it back to its original owners, who didn't do anything with it in the first place. It was right. And we're not supposed to give it back. We're supposed to, oh gee, we're sorry. We're sorry. Can we build you a couple temples? Give you a few virgins to burn? Would you like to rip out a heart or two? What do you mean you want my son? People, I'm telling you, you're in the only nation that God established. I got a book. This is my copy, the only one I had left. I gave Brother Mark. He's talking about working them judges over there in Kansas City, and this is a good book. I talked to Sue Mock about getting it. I'm going to read you some of the stuff. Because you've been told, this is called Myth of Separation by David Barton. And if you have not got it, you ought to get it. And if you have got it and you don't haven't read it, look, I'm sorry, there's no pictures to color. What are you here? Color this stuff, okay? But you need to read the book. You need to read this book. And I'm going to tell you some of the stuff that went on in our country in its early history. This is from the Constitution of North Carolina. Because all you hear, see, is separation church and state. Separation church and state. You can't pray in church. You can't pray in... Hey, you remember when it was pray for the hostages? Remember when it was pray for the Gulf War? They forgot the rest of the phrase, didn't they? You know, pray for the hostages, except in public school. Man, if I had a kid in public school, I'd have said, what I want you to do is tomorrow morning, walk in there and get down on your knees, be in a class, say, now God, God, be with those hostages, God. You can't do that. So I'm just following my government's orders. They told me to pray for the hostages. The Constitution of North Carolina said this, no person who shall deny the being of God, read that atheist, or the truth of the Protestant religion, or the divine authority, either of the Old or New Testaments, or who shall hold religious principles incompatible with the freedom and safety of the state, shall be capable of holding any office or place of trust or profit in the civil department in this state. So what did it say? It said, if you're an atheist, you can't hold public office. They're the only ones who got it now. Yep. I want to give you Tennessee here. Where's Tennessee? We got you covered here if I can find it. There it is. This is the Tennessee Constitution, guys. No person who denies the being of God or a future state of rewards and punishments shall hold any office in the civil department of this state. You don't believe there's a God? You couldn't be governor. You couldn't be legislator. You couldn't be mayor. You couldn't be garbage collector. You couldn't be teacher. There are three great documents in the history of our nation. The first one is the Declaration of Independence. The third one is the U.S. Constitution. The second one is the one that ruled the nation between the Declaration of Independence, which was in 1776, and the ratification of the Constitution, which is in 1787. And that is called the Northwest Ordinances. The Northwest Ordinance. Listen to what the Northwest Ordinance said about public education. Here's why you need public education. Ready for this? Religion, morality, and knowledge. Being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. Benjamin Franklin was not a Christian. But I'll tell you, the heathen at that time were better than some of the Christians today. By the way, George Washington was not a deist. He was a Christian. But Benjamin Franklin, while he was the ambassador to France, you know, France, the Enlightenment, and atheism, and infidelity, and anything goes and the whistle blows. He wrote a tract. And that tract was called Information to Those Who Would Remove to America. So what he's saying is, he said, if you're a Frenchman and you want to move to America, you need to read this and find out what America's like. Here's what he said. Bad examples to youth are more rare in America, which must be a comfortable consideration to parents. To this may be truly added that serious religion under its various denominations is not only tolerated but respected and practiced. Atheism is unknown there. Infidelity, rare and secret. So that persons may live to a great age in that country without having their piety shocked by meeting with either an atheist or an infidel. Unless you go to college. Now, what did Ben Franklin want the great seal of America to be? Moses, lifting up his wand and dividing the Red Sea, and Pharaoh in his chariot overwhelmed with the waters. This model, rebellion to tyrants, is obedience to God. What did Thomas Jefferson? Thomas Jefferson was a Unitarian. He was not a Christian. What did he want? The children of Israel in the wilderness, led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And what were they going after? They were going after this land. Did you know what the cry was in the streets during the Revolution? The cry in the streets in this country during the Revolution was, no king but King Jesus. That was the cry. You know, like, remember the Alamo? You know, during the Spanish-American War, remember the Alamo, the Mexican War? The cry in the streets during the revolutionary days was, no king but King Jesus. Here's what Ben Franklin said. Listen to this. Whoever shall introduce into public affairs the principles of primitive Christianity will change the face of the world. And I'm here to testify to you tonight, we did, and we did. America did. And America did change the face of the world. Had the people during the Revolution, this is the House Judiciary Committee, 1854, had the people during the Revolution had a suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity, that revolution would have been strangled in its cradle. So what does that mean? That means if they'd have known about Janet Reno, they wouldn't have gone out and died for this country. That's what it means. I was in a church in Maine. The pastor says, every now and then my kids are playing. And he said, I'll yell, Janet Reno! And all the kids hit the floor. I knew a guy, he was talking on the phone, he was talking to a woman named Janet. His son heard him say, Janet, the kid looked scared. He says, is he talking to Janet Reno? You realize that woman's name has become synonymous with death and pain and terror? Here's what it says. Religion is the only solid basis for good morals. Therefore, education should teach the precepts of religion and the duties of man towards God. That's just like public education, right? It's exactly what they do all day long. Neither the wisest constitution, Samuel Adams, neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. Who talked about virtue? Brother Adams? Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other, which is why our country is coming apart. This is the last one. Men in a word. This is Robert Winthrop. 1852. Men of the word must necessarily be controlled either by a power within them or by a power without them. Either by the word of God or by the strong arm of man. Either by the Bible or by the bayonet. Now, you know what that just said? That just said if you are not going to be governed by your book, this book, you will be governed by a tyrannic government. That's where America's headed. That's where America's destined. America has to go that way. Why? Because they threw out the book. And what I'm saying is this. The land, the people that were in the land when Israel Israel took were bad. And the people that moved in did a better job. All right? Israel did a better job. And America did a better job. All this weeping and slop and crying and moaning, you know. I read this, man. I read this. This is true. Earth First. I read this quote. The guy that was in president of Earth First said this concerning the smallpox virus. He said, I think we made a mistake in eradicating the smallpox virus because it had rights. The rights of the smallpox virus. Now, if that guy shouldn't be in a place where they put the mattress on the wall, slide the food under the door, a little slot about that big on stainless steel, no fork, no knife, nothing sharp, no matches. In fact, give the guy the knife. Give him a rope and put a hook in the ceiling and a chair. And see if anything comes to mind. You keep your place in judgment. Deuteronomy chapter 4 says this in verse 7. Of course, it's talking about Israel. But it can also be superimposed over the United States of America as the only nation that has ever made the God of the Bible their God. Verse 7, Deuteronomy 4, 7. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? For what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? There has never been a nation on the face of this earth like the United States of America. We have done better. First time I came here, this building wasn't here. This was an idea. That building was there, and that building was there. Remember? This was a field. Then you put this up, and behind here was a field. Then you put in a parking lot, and behind that was a field. Now you got a building, you got a parking lot, you got a ball field. Did you ever stop and think the millions of displaced homeless ants? Do you have any idea what happened to some mother earthworm when she found out that her child went for a little walk and a payloader came by and cut him in half? He said, oh yeah, hey listen, I'm going to tell you right now, there are people that would bemoan the trees that were cut to put this building up. How many people got saved in this place? I bet you got more than a one-on-one ratio. One per tree. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying you did better with it. Buddy, cut the rest of the trees down, pave it all, but asphalt it, paint it green. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm sorry. I know I'm crude sometimes. I force myself to be. I tell them I'd beat the last baby seal to death myself. I like baby seals. Nice warm gloves, you know, I understand. I don't have anything against baby seals. I would only do it if there was a seals rights guy standing there and it would upset him. Other than that, I'd let the thing go, man. People, God took the land away from who was here, but God established the new land. He kicked out the residents of the land of Canaan and he put his people in. The Bible says in Genesis that Japheth would inhabit the tents of Shem. And God kicked Shem off the land. And he put Japheth here. And Japheth has done better. You don't like that? You say that's a racist statement? You said anything you want, pal. We won. Without apology. I'll tell you something else. Your piece of dirt, right? And the old owner was pretty rough on it. But the new owner's done a better job, hadn't he? I mean, come on, man, I can't get over it. I can't get over America. I can't get over adult Americans watching a stinking TV, three guys sitting in a fishing boat, and this guy takes this can, and here it is. You know, why do they always start with such good water? Why don't they start with bad water? Why don't they say, you know, this is recycled from radiators? Instead, they say, cool mountain spring water. Yeah, then they strain it through a garbage can, and they give you beer. They ferment the stuff, right? Three guys sit in a can. Guy says, it don't get no better than this, fellas. Buddy, if it didn't get any better than that, I'd blow my brains out. And for a guy that thinks it don't get no better than that, he better put several bullets in the gun so he can stir around and try to find it. The new owner has been better. I was at the Madison Baptist Temple some years after I left there. A teenage boy came up to me and said, hey, I got to tell you something. I said, what? He said, I take body shop over at Washington High School. I said, oh, that's where I took body shop. He said, yeah, I know. I said, how do you know? He said, we moved the tool crib from upstairs to downstairs. I said, yeah. He said, well, we took these big shelves down. He said, there on the wall in great big letters, it said Sam Gift. And then it was dated May something 1968. I said, oh, yeah. I said, I was there when we moved the tool crib from downstairs to upstairs. And I said, you know, that was my part for history. I thought someone would want to know that I had been there. And so I put my name on there. For your information, it used to be on the wall of the old Madison City Jail that's now been torn down. That was the old owner. You know what I did a few years ago? I walked into the main library, Madison City Library, public library, with a copy of my answer book and a copy of Understandable History. Hand them to the librarian, and they're now on the library shelves. Same name. Say, what happened? New owner. New owner. The new owner has been better. Come on, man. Your marriage has been better. Your health has been better. Your mental health has been better. You are happier. Is that not true? The new owner has been better. The new owner has been kind to you. The new owner has been gracious to you. I know the new owner gave you a swat every now and then. You needed it. I said, you needed it. I just felt led. Especially right when I hit you. People, the new owner has been very gracious to us. You ever stop and think about this? The day you got saved, I don't know what kind of a mess your life was in. Listen, the day I got saved, I was planning a robbery. I told God my 19th year on this earth was the worst thing I'd ever had. And I said, God, if my 20th year is not any better, I will blow my brains out. There will not be a 21st year for me. Now I was halfway through my 20th year, and it was worse than ever. And I said, okay. I said, I got 6 months to live. Let's do something. So me and a guy were going to rob an antique dealer. We just figured I'd seen life outside of prison. May as well see it inside of prison. That's just all I figured. The guy says, the guy was an antique dealer. He said, what do you think we'll do if he's home? I said, we'll kill him. He was a queer. Who knows? We might have stopped AIDS in its infancy. I don't know. Day I got saved, I was making that plan. We never carried that out. Say, what happened? I got intercepted. I got intercepted by somebody I couldn't even see, but I sure feel him. I'll tell you what, man, listen, I couldn't see him, but he had a thumb this wide, that long, put it right on top there, going to drive me right through the floor. And I tell people there's two decisions everybody needs to make. You need to make the one to trust Christ, your personal Savior. You need to make the one to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. That can be 5 minutes, five months, 5 years, or never. And I made it right there. I got from here, I sat down there, and I said this. I said, okay, God, I said, here I am. I'm 20 years old. My life is a mess. I said, I'm planning a robbery. I'm going to kill a man. And I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, here you went and gave me a new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have come new. I said, you went and gave me a new life. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll ruin the new life in 5 years. It won't take me 20. I've had practice. I said, I'll ruin the new one in 5 years. So I said, you just take this new life and do what you want with it. I had no idea what I was saying. 10 weeks later, I was on my way to Pensacola, Florida. My hair was too long. I was wearing see-through body shirts, bell-bottom sandals, and I pulled into Pensacola in a custom-painted red, white, and blue Volkswagen that I'd painted. The only thing I needed to put on the back of it was under new management. That's what I needed to put on there. Because it all changed.
And I'm telling you today that if the Lord found you, when He saved you, if He'd have left you where He found you, you would still be better for the experience. Isn't that right? Some of you, you were about nuts. Some of you, your marriage was about to come apart. Some of you, your alcoholism, your drugs are going to destroy your health. I mean, some of you, you couldn't take it up. Some of you are going to blow your brains out. Some of you have no idea even yet what was going to happen. And He saved you, and He did not leave you where He found you. If He had, you'd still be saved. He's good to you, and He gave you new ground, bud. And we've had victories. I didn't say a victory. I said victories. You want to confuse the Baptist church? Listen, I won't confuse you if I say this. Stand up and tell us when you got saved. Well, you'll tell me. And if I said the same thing tomorrow night or the next night or the next night, you'd stand up and give the same testimony. You want to confuse a bunch of Baptists, say, tell us what God did for you. And they all get confused. They don't know which one to tell you. Well, let me tell you this. Oh, but could I tell you this one too? And next month, you'll have a completely different testimony. Oh, yeah, that was last month. Let me tell you what He did just last week. I didn't say He gave you a victory. I said He's given you victory after victory after victory. But if somebody could have got a car just off the side of the road, you never know what went on here. It's a lot different now, isn't it? You say, why? Because we've had some victories. And then the Spirit shows up. And the Spirit says this, verse 13 of Judges chapter 11. The king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away... No, here. Let me say this right.
Because Israel took away my lamb.
That's how it was pronounced in the Hebrew. You have to have the proper inflection. I've studied this for years.
When you came out of Egypt.
I'll tell you, man. If you have an Indian background, get off the reservation and join civilization.
Well, I am very proud of my heritage.
You got no heritage to be proud of, pal. My kin folks are Romanian. I'm only second generation. My parents are the first ones born here. My mother's side came over from Romania. My father's side came over from Romania. You think I'm proud of being Romanian American? I know Romanian American. If I called myself a Romanian American, I'd go dig up my grandparents and I'd find his face down. They've turned over. In their grave. If they could speak, if I said, I'm a Romanian American, I'm so proud of my heritage. Hey man, it's a bunch of Romanian hillbillies. They were heathen. They were pagan. Why would I say this? I'm proud of my roots. I don't dig too deep into your roots, bub. I heard a preacher preaching. He was an evangelist. His dad was a great preacher. His grandfather was a great preacher. He said, boy, I said, I'm third generation. He said, my father's a great preacher. My grandfather's a great preacher. I believe his great-grandfather's a preacher. He knew that. He said, I'm going to dig around my roots and find out what happened. He went back five generations. Wow, man, my great... This is a great preacher. Father. Wait, him, daddy, great-grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather. He found his great-great-grandfather was a preacher. He dug around some more. He found his great-great-great-grandfather was a preacher. He went back to my father. He said, I found out my grandfather was a preacher. He said, I went back farther. He said, I was excited, man. Seven generations of preachers in my family. He said, I went back farther. He said, eight generations preachers. He said, I went back even farther. He said, I dug and dug. He said, I found out the records, man. Nine generations back preachers. He said, oh, I was excited. He said, man, I started digging. He said, I could just see it, man. He already had the sermon illustration ready to go. 10 generations. He said, I dug, man. He said, I found out 10 generations. My great-great-great-grandfather was hung as a horse thief. All I can figure is that one right after him must have watched it. Because it sure changed the destiny for that family. And now the Spirit is here. Now, you have to understand, people, a spirit is a spirit. If a guy comes in here with a smoke bomb, pulls a thing, you can know what it is. You can say, I will not panic, it doesn't matter. You still will not be able to see. It will still fill all the air in this room. Is that not true?
then if a spirit permeates this country, somewhere along the line, you are going to brush up against it. Is that not true? Come on, some of you got four kinds of Crest. You got three kinds of Pepsi. I'm not preaching against having them. I'm saying that's a result of the spirit that permeates this country, that schismatic spirit. Maybe it was very innocently pushed by merchandisers who found out they could sell 18 different kinds of toothpaste under the same name. I don't know. But it still permeates our country, and we brush up against it, and it has an influence upon our life. But this spirit of give it back and say you're sorry. When they came out of Egypt, from Arnon even unto Jabbok and unto Jordan, now therefore restore those lands again peaceably.
You give it back.
We won. Didn't we win? Did we win? We won. So how do you know? Because we're here. We won. We have come to a point in America when you have to be ashamed, embarrassed, and intimidated because you won. Brother Jeff says, I'm an independent Baptist, but I'm not mad about it. I'm an American, but I'm sorry. Isn't that where we're at? We're at the point where, you know, listen, you are in the only nation who's ever founded on the God of the Bible, and you have to feel like you're guilty. You've done it all. Don't give it back. We did a better job than they did. They had it. They had it for X number of years. We've only had it for 200. We did a better job. Now everyone's come around and say, give it back. We want our land back. And somewhere, there's an old cavalry general saying, I told you we made a mistake letting one live. Listen, don't get me wrong. If you're Vietnamese, don't get hot. But the story was told in Vietnam. There was a U.S. Army officer sitting in a bar drinking, and there was a Vietnamese officer beside him, and they were pondering how to win the war. And this Vietnamese officer was just bemoaning about what we were going to do, He said, oh, no. He said, we got a plan. It's no problem. So we're going to plan. He said, oh, really? He said, yeah, we got a plan. It's going to take care of us. What are you going to do? He said, we're going to take all of the good Vietnamese, and we're going to put them on ships, and we're going to put them off, anchor the ships just off the coast. And then we're just going to come in here and kill everybody that's left on the land, because we'll only be killing bad folks. Wow, that's a good idea. Then what do? Then we sink the ships. You say, that's nasty. Yeah, but nobody's going to come back 200 years later and say, we want our land back. People, what I'm saying is this. God gave Americans this nation. He gave us this land. And now we have to feel like we're the squatters. We're not the squatters. We're the victors. You said any way you want, pal. We went out nose to nose, blow for blow, head to head. I mean, buddy, we took it on the chin. Our people died. Their people died. Our people won. We got the property. Sorry, Bubba. You never found any nation more gregarious in victory than the United States. That's why Japan is a problem to us today economically, because we built it back up. That's why Germany is a problem today economically, because we built it back up. You never found a better winner in your life. And man, it's like that one. What was that one? The mouse that roared. If you want to be economically stable as a nation, just declare war on America and lose. Just start a fight and then lose, man. We'll turn you into a profitable country. They came along. Let me tell you something, Bob. I was in Arkansas. I saw a sight that just turned my stomach. I preached in this church many times, going down the same road time and time again to where we park our trailer. I come down this road, and on both sides of the road is a farmer. He'll be working his field. He'll be plowing, or depends on what time of year we're there. He'll be sowing, you know, or he'll be plowing, or he'll be reaping. But what he was planting the last time I saw broke my heart. I saw it. He's going down through that field with a tractor, planting trees, turning a field. Now, what do you think that was? You think that field was always that nice? There's a time when somebody came in there and they took those trees down and they stumped that field. They took it. And you know they didn't just walk in there with a, I can't say that orange and black truck name.
whatever, however you say that. But those guys with a little, I mean, those guys dynamited and they crowbarred and they got the stumps out of there and they took the rocks out of there and then they broke up that ground and then they worked that ground and they leveled that ground. They turned that field into a profitable field and grain came from there and corn, and it fed the world. Not America, it fed the world. They're planting trees. Government's paying him to put trees back in it. And never touch the trees. The moment the tree hits the ground, it's federally protected. If he takes it back out, he'll go to jail.
We want our land back.
That's sick. That is sick. Get that feather out of your head, pal. Take the rawhide off. Yeah, I know. You'll stand there and hop around to the drum beat of a drum, and then you'll get in your Chevrolet. And you'll go watch the Redskins play and root against them. And you'll stop at a restaurant, and you'll drive on a concrete road, and you'll get carpeting for your place too. And then you'll curse somebody for taking your land. They did you a favor, buddy. They did you a favor. Your kin folks never knew how good you'd have it. But now we're supposed to feel bad because we won. Israel's supposed to feel bad because they won. Now we've got people come by and they say, you Christians, you know, you guys need to give some of that back. You need to go back, make the land like it was before you were saved. The things that you took out, put back in. And say you're sorry for being the way you were. You say what you want. I don't think you'd ever let Tom Shuey stand up here the way he looked the day he got saved and preach in your pulpit. I think his hair coming off and them earrings coming out of his ear was a big victory, was it not, Tom? Well, Tom, grow it back, man. Put the earrings back and apologize for being such a bigot. You see? Give it back! Give it back and say you're sorry! For victory? Listen, Buster, this guy didn't realize it. There was a lot of Jewish blood shed for that property. And there were battles that raged under your feet for this property. And the blood that was shed for the victory you got when you got saved is beyond description. Somebody says, give it back! Don't be so judgmental! Don't be so separated! Don't be so holier than thou! You mean don't be so clean? You mean don't be so different? Hey, you got to admit, this is a lot different than a bunch of animal skins pointed like upside down snow cones and people going, hey, 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 running around. This is a lot different. Well, I'll tell you something, Buster, I like this better. We've come to the point now where we're supposed to give it back. Can I tell you something? The price that was paid for this land was too great, and the price that was paid for this land was too great, and the price that was paid for this land was too great. We've come to the point in this country where we're supposed to sing victory in Jesus, and no sooner do we get done singing it, we should apologize for the victory and give back the property. Nuts to you, Buster. Nuts to you. Say, my mind isn't open. My mind is open. I'm not opening a sewer. I remember what the land was like, bud. I remember the stench. I remember the battle. I remember the filth. Don't talk to me about it. Did you come by and tell me I need to apologize for not stinking? I don't sleep in my puke anymore. People, you know what Jephthah said? He said, verse 21, and the Lord God of Israel delivered Sion and all this people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. And they possessed all the coast of the Amorites, from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before this his people Israel, and shouldst thou possess it? He said, man, God gave this to us. You want it back? He said, man, our kinfolks died to get this. God gave us this. You want us now to move off? That's exactly what's going on in Israel right now. They took the Gaza. They took the West Bank. They took the Golan Heights. They took the entire Sinai. And what did they have to do? Oh, here's the Sinai back. We're sorry about that. Oh, here's Gaza. Yeah, look, nothing personal. We'll give you back the Golan Heights. Let me ask you a question. Has peace come? And maybe somebody was lying when they said you give it back and it'll all be okay. You know what? You know what Paul said? Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, Galatians chapter 2, verse 18, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. I'm here to tell you that when I got saved, after I got saved, I destroyed some things. Don't tell me to get them back. Long playing. People, the Spirit, it is not a spirit in your church. It is not a spirit in any denomination or in any denominational church. It is not a spirit that is in the church. It is a spirit that's in the country. But because our churches are in this country, we will be in subjection or we will bump up against that spirit. I told you what I went to school looking like. Hair too long, clothes wild, car red, white, and blue. I pulled on the property. Pensacola Bible Institute. A couple third-year students were standing there. One of them gave another guy the elbow and said, see that guy right there? He won't last 6 months. I guess just no hard-nosed legalist. Of 33 guys that started that year, I'm one of six that graduated 3 years later. And I'm here to tell you that guy was right. That guy didn't last 6 months. 6 months later, my hair was cut. I had socks on and I was tying my shoes to my feet. 6 months later, I was sitting in church with a tie on, clothed and in my right mind. Don't tell me to go back, Buster. Don't you tell me to. I like it this way. Say, you comfortable in that? Yeah, I really am now. I'm comfortable. I like them. I get used to it. I like it. Work clothes. For a preacher, work clothes. I can handle it. Well, why don't you just get... I'm not giving nothing back, Buster. I've slept in enough vomit. I've heard the beat of the music. I don't care about the words. I've heard the beat. I have not taken the lid off a garbage can in years, put my nose in it on a hot July day, but I guarantee you, still stinks. In fact, they only have garbage. It used to be 33 gallons. Now there's a big blue thing out back here. You put your old self in it now. I know it's just a theory. It's just a theory. I'll bet it's 25 years since I put my head in the garbage can. I'm guessing it smells as bad as it did then, except since they're bigger, probably smells a little worse. But I'm not going to stick my head in it to find out. I'm just going to be prejudiced. I'm just going to be closed-minded and bigoted about it. I still think it stinks. Now, you can paint a Bible on the side of it. It won't make it smell any better. You can paint the name Jesus on the inside of it. And it will not sanctify the garbage can. It will defile the name. So the Spirit comes by and says, now, aren't you ashamed? No. I'm not only not ashamed, I'm defiant. Because I know what's right. I know America is right. I know Israel is right. And I know that when God picked a stinking, lowly bum up and cleaned him up, he didn't clean him up so he could say, now go get dirty again. You've grown up enough to where you can handle it. The land costs too much. The victory. So why don't you do some of that? I'll tell you why. Because it cost the blood of Jesus Christ. It cost, listen. Hey, I ain't holy. I know we're holy. I'm not saying, you know, I'm Mark said the other night, we're holy because we have Christ. I understand we're holy, or Jeff, I know we're holy in that, but come on, man, you don't walk on the water. I can't even pour the stuff. I mean that inside your heart beats the heart, a heart that is kind and loving and wonderful and concerned as a cross between Adolf Hitler and Charles Manson and Jeff Dahmer. That's what's inside you. God came in and cleaned you up. Now look, man, a lot of men died so Israel could have that land. A lot of men died so we could live here. Only one man died so I could be here tonight. But it was a great price. A piece of dirt. Can I show you something? I'll show you something. People complain about a King James Bible. And I'll show you exactly why God put it there. Look at Luke chapter 1. You get Luke chapter 1 in one hand. And I want to say Leviticus chapter 20. I'll tell you in a minute. 7. Yeah, get Leviticus chapter 27. I'm going to show you something that really upsets Bible correctors. I love to see Bible correctors upset. I do, brother. I like to ruin their breakfast, lunch, and supper. Say, you know, have no compassion. Yes, I do. Just not for them. This upsets Bible correctors. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Here's the angel Gabriel. He's talking to Mary about conceiving Jesus Christ. Verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You see that word, holy thing, those two words? Holy thing. Ooh. Bible correctors go ballistic on that. Well, you want to see a Bible corrector get sanctimonious, man. Get him right there. Self. Well, holy thing. I wouldn't have a Bible to call my Savior a thing. Your King James Bible calls Jesus the Son of God a thing. Oh, get off the horse, pal. You're going to ride it to death. Better yet, stay on the horse. I'll take you off of it. Say, how? I'll hit you with a 66 caliber right in the head. Go to Leviticus chapter 27, and I'll show you what a holy thing is. You know what a holy thing is? Let me ask you a question while you go there. What are you made out of? You're dirt, right? All right, I don't know, maybe there's somebody here that used to be Jewish before you got saved, but the majority of you were not Jewish, right? So you weren't even his. He didn't come to you. Does it not say we're saved? It says you are what? Bought with a price. So I'm talking to a bunch of dirt that was not, that did not belong to God, that he bought. You know what you need now? You know what happens after you get saved? You know what we're losing? We need to be separated, sanctified, set apart. Meet for the Master's use. We need. Say, how do I get sanctified? Leviticus 27. Verse 22. If any man sanctify unto the Lord. Hey, you guys sanctifying it. Sanctify a field which he hath bought, which is not of the fields of his possession. Whoa, who, what man do you know bought a field? He bought it with his blood. And it was not a field of his possession. And now he wants to sanctify it. But he needs something to sanctify it. And there's only one thing will do it. Verse 23. Then the priest shall reckon unto him the worth of thy estimation, even unto the year of Jubilee. Is that what you're waiting for? And he shall give thine estimation in that day as a holy thing unto the Lord. You know what a holy thing is? A holy thing is the price of sanctifying a piece of dirt that somebody bought that was not of his possession. You know what you are? You are a piece of dirt that was not of his possession that he bought, and he wants to sanctify you. And that's why in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, you're going to be sanctified. It takes a holy thing. And Jesus Christ was called, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, in a King James Bible, the holy thing. He is the price of your sanctification. And then somebody comes by and says, give it back. Give it back! You took it! I didn't take it. I didn't take it. My owner killed the guy that owned it before. I'm telling you today, I am just a piece of dirt. That's all I am. I am a piece of dirt. God got nothing when he got me. Listen, God didn't save you if you're a plumber because he's got plumbing troubles, or he didn't save you because you're an electrician because you've got electrical problems. He didn't even save you singers because he hear you sing. I personally, listen, it was beautiful. The choir numbers last night, oh man. Hallelujah Chorus, was it last night, the night before? I think the Hallelujah Chorus the Messiah is the most beautiful music on earth. And I think compared to the seraphim and the cherubim and the 420 elders and what's going on in heaven right now, I think the Hallelujah Chorus probably sounds like a kid beating on a garbage can lid with a wooden spoon. You think he needed your voice or mine? But I've been bought. Been bought with a price. You know what God did as soon as he bought it? He started clearing the land. He came through, brother, with a... Say, was it a D9? No, it's more like a KJV 1611. He leveled it! He didn't seem like nothing. He didn't even like my name. Wrote a new one. Probably couldn't pronounce it. Probably said Gibbs, Grip, Goip, Jip. I tell people, one of these days, Charles Swindoll and I are going to have a joint meeting. We're going to call it Swindle and Jip. I don't know what the preaching will be like, but the offerings ought to be something to see. You know what Jephthah said? He said, we ain't giving it back. Then you know what he did? He went out and fought for it again. See, that's the problem, Christian. Problem is, the Ammonites want the land back. And you say, well, just don't bother me. I just don't want to be bothered. Ain't going to work that way. Israel said, don't bother me. And so they sent guys onto buses and blew up people. America said, hey, man, just let us alone. We'll give you something. And the more you gave them, the more they want it. He said, what do you have to do? Well, Jephthah went back to war. He won that land again. And it was a costly victory. It cost him part of his family. But he said, this land is our land. We're free again. We're not going back across that river. I've been on the other side. I don't like the other side. I know what it's like over there. We're staying here. You don't bother us now. I'll whip you again. And the Spirit comes by and says, okay, Christian, give it back now. Give it back. And you say, no, just let me alone, all right? Believe what you want, all right? Just leave me alone. But they won't let you alone. No, give it back. Say you're sorry. Oh, not only do I have to be, not only do I have to feel bad that I won, I have to apologize for winning. I will not apologize for the victory of Jesus Christ. I will not apologize for the blood. I will not apologize for him clearing the land. And when he cleared the land, he started building something different. He started building something different. It may not be Grand Pal. It's a lot better than the old property. This is a whole lot. You think, I know. I just people say, oh, it's Gap. You ought to love me as I know you wouldn't like me before. And if I didn't like you before, I'd do more than just shake your hand and smile. Say, what happened? New owner. And he leveled the property. And he started building. Don't you come by to me and tell me, plant no tree. Don't you come by to me and tell me, you know what I see out here? I see that line. But I mean, that grass goes right up to that woods and stops, doesn't it? I can see where, I assume that's your property line. It just goes, and then the woods. That's kind of cut and dried, isn't it? I think you need to put a buffer zone in there. Put maybe some shrubs 20 feet in. Maybe some little trees gradually. Because I don't think it ought to... Yeah, so. Yeah. Everybody knows where your property is. It's taken care of. It's cultivated. It's maintained. I saw the guys fighting out there this week. I saw him fighting. You know what he was using? He was using a John Deere. And he was fighting the grass from taking it back. You think I'm kidding? You understand what I'm saying? He was fighting it lest it get too long. Must have been a bigot out there in that John Deere. I think he'll apologize to all the ants he ran over. I think he ought to get down on his knees and find every cut blade of grass and tell the great spirit God, that woman that lives in that tree in Pocahontas, that he's sorry. I'd spit in her eye. And my God will spit in her God's eye. My God slapped her God all over the place. You want me to apologize? You're out of your mind, Buster. Too high a price was paid. God let his only begotten son die for this victory. Somebody comes by and says, give it back. You ought to thank God I'm saved, because I can't tell you what I'd tell you if I was lost. So I just say nuts to you. I'm staying right where I'm at. In fact, you know what I might do? Cut the grass a little shorter. I want to go right down to the property line and see if there's any dandelions this side. Any, maybe catch a maple sapling about this big and just rip it out. And watch the dirt fall from its roots. It wouldn't hurt anybody. Ooh, I know. I just felt so good to do that. Why you do that? Because somebody paid a price I wasn't worth to make me something I wasn't for himself. And I know who used to own the property, and I know what the owners used to do, and I know who owns the property now. And I'm not combining the two. And I'm not going back. I'm not giving it back. I'm not apologizing. I'm going to be defiant. I'm going to be a stench. That's why I like to make environmentalists mad. I like to make them mad. Because they're nuts. When people talk about giving our country back to somebody, don't give it back to nobody, buddy. If they got any survivors, tell them to jump in a lake. That doesn't sound loving. I love the victory. I love the one who bought the victory. And I'm not going to please anybody by taking what he tore out and put it back in and call it progress. Stand with your heads bowed. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. What do you think you do? Lord, take something out of your life, you put it back in. It's not your fault. It's really, I'm giving it this. It's not your fault. It's the spirit of the nation right now. And as it gets stronger in this nation, it can only get stronger in your life. There'll be more pull. So what do you think we ought to do? Don't give it back. Don't give it back. Don't give back nothing. Don't take a step backward and call it a step forward. Don't tear down the buildings. What are you going to do? Tear down this church? Plant a few maples? Tear down everything here. Plant a bunch of weeds and maples and drive by here every week and say, my, look at the progress. Isn't it wonderful now? Yeah, and who's getting saved there now? Now, you do that, you know what you'll find behind the trees pretty soon? You'll find empty beer bottles and other things. No. You keep it. You fight for it. You fight for it. You defy that spirit. You will be submitted to that spirit. You'll be prosecuted by that spirit. You'll be pushed by that spirit, just like you're pushed by the other spirits of this country. They're in the nation. It's not a church thing. It's a nation thing. And here you are. How many of you be honest enough to say this, Brother Sam? I know I'm saved. And I know when I got saved, I can remember the Lord cleared the land. He cleared out what He didn't like. And He began to build a new work. And now some of the new work has fallen in disrepair. And some of what the Lord cleared out has begun to take root again, where He had paid so much to rid my life of it. Some of it has been taken back. Here's my hand. Come on, be honest. Be honest. I'm going to tell you tonight, don't give it back. Don't give it back. You put your hands down, don't give it back. I knew people got saved. They burnt their records. I know some Christians do well to do the same thing. I knew some people, when they got saved, they changed their wardrobe. Now they need to do it again. Jephthah had to go out and fight the battle again. Don't give it back. Don't give it back. Jesus Christ paid too much for the victory for you to give it back. What do you think He would think when you give it back piece by piece? He says, I bought that.
Well, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. The Ammonites are a little upset with us. The Amorites don't like us being here.
Yeah, but God loves it. Israel was right where God wanted her. It is not time to give it back. Jubilee's just around the corner, bud. Sanctify the field. Just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Larry will come and lead the invitation. So what is the invitation? Oh, maybe go rip a little maple out of your life. Go weed your garden. Go reclaim. Go mow a field you haven't mowed in a while. Go back. Check your boundary. You fight for it. You fight for it. Every day you fight for it, you're fighting for the blood of Jesus Christ, because He shed His blood to make you different, to buy you, and then to sanctify you, to build you. Lord God, You are the Lord God. There's no doubt about it. Father, if I chose not to worship You, I'll still be on my face to You someday. None of us can avoid coming eye to eye with You. Then we'll be down on our noses where we belong. Lord God, I was a vile, stinking, rotten, filthy piece of dirt. And You let Your Son shed His blood to buy me. And You cleared the land. And then You began to build. Dear God, by Your grace, please, Father, by Your grace, don't let me give it back. God, I'll not give back the land. I will not give it back. The Spirit, I know the Spirit will get stronger in this country. I know between now and You coming back, I know the Spirit will oppress us more and more and more. It'll be in the papers. It'll be in the books. It will permeate our churches eventually, God. It will be everywhere. Give it back and say You're sorry. God, I'm not sorry. I'll not give it back. You paid too much. God, You saw the hands of people that went up. Some of it has slipped out of their fingers. Help them to get it back. There are some here that may be wavering. Help them not to give in, not to give it back. Keep the land You bought. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. What are you saying, Larry?